Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's HandyLink. You're listening to HandyLink on CJAM 99.1 FM, Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Gerard Taylor. He's going to be telling us about the practice of accessible karate. So tell me a little bit about accessible karate.
My name is Gerard Taylor, and I work for Sioux Accessible Sports Incorporated of Sault Ste. Marie. And we've been running a karate program here in Sault Ste. Marie for approximately 2 years now. We have several participants that partake in the sports event, and it's getting more popular by the year.
Can you tell me, is there any modified equipment used for the athletes?
No, there's no modified equipment. Everybody who participates in the class comes in pretty much in their own wheelchair. We use the same equipment that any ambulatory people might use, taking the same class. And that's the way we conduct the karate class.
So, can you tell me a little bit about the training practices for the accessible karate?
Well, in accessible karate, you know, it's a sport that helps build self-discipline. It's a self-esteem builder. It provides a range of flexibility and range of motion for participants. It focuses on concentration and improves coordination. It helps increase strength, develops good leadership skills, and improves mental health and wellness and fitness.
So, how do you go about spreading the word about the work of the accessible sports?
Well, we at Sioux Accessible Sports, we have a website at SiouxAccessibleSports.org, and we provide all of our programming and participants and all the information you might need to contact anybody to get involved in accessible sports.
So, in your experience with accessible karate, have there been any challenges that you've seen?
Well, it's a very challenging sport and exercise. It takes a great deal of strength and technique. It's a great way to meet new people and friends.
So, to look at the converse side of things, in your time with the accessible sport, has there been any success moment that stood out for you?
Our successes are just in the amount of participation and how much we can get people involved in accessible sport, and that's the way we measure our success in Sioux Accessible Sports. However, in karate, your successes are measured in the belts and the achievements that you achieve during your involvement.
So, overall, how does successful karate compare with the able-bodied equivalent? What's similar, what's different?
Well, obviously, there's the physical aspect that is that separates the two classes. But moreover, it's the involvement, it's the camaraderie that you build amongst your fellow peers, and it's the ability to overcome the the fears of being out in public and just being able to have that self-confidence to be able to overcome any situation you may get involved in.
So, when you mentioned the physical aspects of accessible karate, can you tell me how the karate aspect itself is modified for a person with a disability?
Well, Chris Troach of International Karate doesn't necessarily separate the two. He actually makes the wheelchair a part of an extension of the participant, and the wheelchair actually becomes part of the equipment to facilitate karate in an accessible way.
So, if you could send any one message about the need for inclusion in these sports, what would it be?
Well, I would send out the message that that improves a more healthy, active lifestyle, that it would improve self-confidence, and it would build, like I said, team leadership skills, and provide a venue for people to overcome some of the barriers that they might find in society.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay, thank you, Cam.
To me, this was a fantastic example of an organization thinking outside the box, thinking beyond what a person's limitations or perceived limitations might be. Here we have an organization taking something as physically involved as karate and finding a way to adapt it so individuals with disabilities can enjoy it and benefit in the areas of self-discipline and leadership that Gerard mentioned during the interview. The benefits of a practice such as accessible karate might show up in ways that one wouldn't expect. If a person with a disability engages in the sport and suddenly finds themselves doing something where their strength is not only recognized, but celebrated, they might find a little more self-confidence, a little more strength, willingness to take on greater and greater responsibilities within the community, which is as it should be. If a person's mind says they can achieve, or I am a strong, capable person, they will treat themselves as such, and they will recognize that they have a strength that should be respected and appreciated as valued members of the community. I'm always amazed by accessible sport, the advancements, the adaptations that can be made. Blind baseball being a great example of this to me. Why can't a person with a vision impairment engage in the sport? Society should look at it from the standpoint of not why a person can't do this, But how can they do it? What can be done? What simple modifications can be made? And trust me, the strength, the drive, the training of the sport is never lost. A person with a disability will put their heart, their soul into the game. If it's something they love to do, their mind tells them they can achieve, and they give an athletic performance to match. Truth is, it's a very freeing, very liberating experience for a person with disability. To be part of a team, to be out there just doing what they love to do, just living in the moment, not focusing on what could be a perceived limitation or what could go wrong. Because the truth is, if you spend all your time thinking about that, you start being ruled by the fear, the unwillingness to get out there and to be recognized and included as part of the community. A person with a disability is just that, a person of strength, an integral part of the great puzzle we call a community. And the more individuals with disabilities recognize that there are adaptations, there are possibilities to engage, be a part of it, the better, the more complete as a society we will become. It's organizations such as this one that are asking the questions, what can be done? Not just to make it possible for a person with a disability, but to preserve the meaning of the sport, to preserve the meaning of the game, and also make it possible for them. To give them an equal opportunity to contribute and to succeed. That's what it's all about, folks. No matter what the setting, no matter what the desired goal, for an individual with a disability to succeed and to accomplish, the work does have to be meaningful. It has to be a matter of society saying, I want to give this person an equal opportunity to survive and to thrive by their own skills, not to provide an unfair advantage, not to tip the scales, as it were, but to recognize that each one has skills and talents all their own. To play to such talents and to recognize these are gifted members of society. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Canadians are being bought and sold. We can no longer ignore this reality. Each of the 27 million human trafficking victims around the globe has a unique story. 80% of victims are women, 50% are children. This is not only a global injustice, but a local reality. It is happening right now in my community. We are asking you to take action today. Visit endexploitation.com. Get informed and take action. British anti-slavery leader William Wilberforce once said, "Having heard all this, you may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know. Only question now is what will you do? Join us and help eliminate human slavery in Canada."
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Gerard Taylor from Sioux Accessible Sports. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from another representative of the organization, Don Calvert. So tell me a little bit about Sioux Accessible Sports.
Well, Sioux Accessible Sports is a not-for-profit accessible sports organization that offers opportunities to the disabled in Sault Ste. Marie to play accessible sport for either free or for a small fee. And we supply, for the most part, the equipment needed to do so as well.
So, can you tell me what sports are included within the organization?
Well, currently we have sledge hockey, sledge skating, archery, basketball, karate, bowling, paranordic skiing, and water skiing. And boccia, actually, our newest addition.
So, how does the community typically respond to these events?
The community, in terms of participation or support?
A little of both.
Sault Ste. Marie has a history of being very philanthropic in terms of supporting local organizations. So we've been very fortunate in that respect. We knew before we even became a not-for-profit that there was a definite need for accessible sport in the Sioux prior to us coming to fruition. If someone with a given disability, whatever that may be, wanted to participate in sport, the options were literally slim to none until we came around.
So, since the work began, have there been any challenges that you've seen?
Well, the challenge, like, in terms of, in reference to any not-for-profit, is fundraising or securing grants for the big-ticket items. And our biggest obstacle that we got over, thanks to one of our members, Peter Hugel, was securing a Trillium grant that allowed us to get some sledge hockey equipment, like the sledges, and basketball chairs for our basketball program, because they're extremely costly. And now that we have them, we'll be good for years to come.
So, to look at the converse side of things, in your time with Sioux Accessible Sport, has there been any success moment that stood out for you?
Well, I think becoming a not-for-profit and securing charitable status was a huge success for us. I believe we are the first accessible sports council in Canada that's actually become a not-for-profit. And from what I gather, other municipalities are starting to follow suit, because in order to run these programs, it is costly because of the equipment involved. Without the ability to raise funds on a large scale, it's quite an uphill battle. But being a not-for-profit opens up a lot of doors that otherwise wouldn't be there if you didn't have that benefit.
So, do you work in partnership with any other organizations?
Yes, we do. The City of Sault Ste. Marie is a partner of ours. They helped us out to get our sledge hockey program off the ground. They donated ice time until we were financially secure enough to fund our own. They also let us use their sledges until we purchased our own. Algoma University has been a huge partner for many years for our basketball program. They waived the gym rental fee for us so that we could run our program out of there. And Ontario Wheelchair Sport had loaned us some basketball chairs that we utilized until we could purchase our own. We're also affiliated with Parasport Ontario, which was a huge integral part of us becoming a formalized council prior to becoming a not-for-profit. And they serve as an ongoing resource and partner to this day.
So, what are the next steps for the organization?
Well, obviously sustaining the sports that we have, by raising the necessary funds to keep them going, and also expanding. It's the mandate of Sioux Accessible Sport to be totally inclusive, and it's our long-term goal to have a sport for everyone, regardless of your disability, to participate in, and we're well on the way to accomplishing that now, especially with the addition of boccia, which is a new sport that we just launched within the last year that's been really successful. That includes people that cannot necessarily play things like sledge hockey and basketball and the you know, the higher impact type sports.
So if you could send any one message about the need for inclusion in sport, what would it be?
Well, I think that people need to understand that the days of young kids just sitting in the classroom, for instance, while the other kids go out to a field trip skating are over. There's no reason that that should happen anymore. And we as a community need to work together, whether it's teachers, organizations like ourselves, or any other, even parents, getting their kids involved, because there are opportunities out there so that these kids don't have to grow up like disabled kids in the past did, you know, feeling ostracized. They should feel included and have the same privilege of playing sport just like anybody that's able-bodied, because the equipment exists for that to happen.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Not a problem. Thank you, Cam.
Don made exactly the right point right at the end of the interview. That the times where a person with a disability wouldn't be allowed to participate because of perceived limitation are past. We as a society, with all that we know, medical advancements, technological advancements, there's absolutely no good reason why we should go out of our way to find reasons not to include a person with a disability, because that's in effect what we're doing. It's harder to look for the reasons why something wouldn't work than to take the 5 seconds to adapt something and to find why it would. If it's a question of accessible transportation or accessible sports equipment, fine. It's a one-time expense. You go out, you get it done, and then it's in place. But, of course, there is the question, monitoring and upkeep. Actually, I had a discussion recently about the accessible housing policy. It's years down the road. But, fact is, people need to keep their finger on the pulse. They need to be asking the questions. What is being done? What can be done? If there isn't immediate funding and resources available for this, how can we go about finding such? What can we do? In disability life, as with able-bodied life, it's all about pushing forward. Circumstances aren't to your liking. Do what you can to work beyond them. Something proves difficult, that does not mean it's impossible. It simply means that you have to take the steps as a person to grow and to be up for the challenges of life. It simply means you have to ask the right questions and keep asking until you know for yourself what can and cannot be done. Don't simply accept what things have been in times past. Don't simply let someone say a person with limited use of their legs could never ice skate, or someone with a vision impairment could never play baseball. Because these are outdated notions. These myths, these stereotypes only exist until someone asks the question, is this really how it is? Or is this simply how I'm perceiving it to be? Can something be done? Has there been an advancement in the past 5 years to work around this so-called limitation, this so-called impossibility? It always strikes me as interesting, especially with business owners, that they can go all these years, all this education, what's so simple and logical just escapes them in terms of accessibility. They want to cut off part of their own client base or potential client base. It is their choice. But fact is, accessibility isn't just good for the human spirit. It's good for businesses. It's good for employers. It's especially good for the individuals with disabilities, for those who would partner with them stand by them and give them an opportunity. They can change the course of so much and so many lives. It's not simply a question of affecting a person with a disability. It's not just a question of giving them an equal opportunity. It seems to me that you can change a person's entire outlook by embracing accessibility, taking them from what once might have been a hopeless state to a place of optimism, and yes, even contribution to society. By doing that, all the lives this person would affect would in turn be affected by this. The recognition that something is possible, something can be made accessible, should really catch on like wildfire, in my opinion. People just need to see how someone managed to accomplish this. The old saying, things are only impossible until they're not, is especially true in disability life. If we let ourselves believe that something's impossible, there's no way for these athletes to contribute, there's no way for a person with a disability to do this or that job, then yes, what we allow ourselves to see becomes reality to us. Until someone decides to challenge that perception, decides to look beyond that illusion. When someone decides to stand by a person with a disability, it doesn't just better the life of the person they're supporting, it betters their own life. It impacts their definition of what strength is, what contribution can mean, and really defines what their perceptions of equality and right and wrong really are. We can say we're an accessible business, but are we, really? Are you looking at all the aspects of it? So, there's a wheelchair ramp. That's great. But is there an alternative in case the ramp's out of service? Is it getting maintenance regularly? Are there braille signs for individuals with vision impairments? We as a society need to take into consideration there are all types of disabilities, but by the same token, there are also infinite possibilities, infinite potential to create, to find new ways of doing things. If you're someone with a story of disability life, write HandyLink 4, HandyLink, numeral 4, gmail.com. Always love to hear from you folks at home. Back to accessible sport. In my opinion, there's nothing quite so freeing in all of disability life as this practice of getting these athletes chance to be out there to do what they love. It also has this great effect of encouraging community amongst people with disabilities, potential to learn from each other's skills, their ideas, their strengths. And that is what we as a society need to branch out in every aspect of life. We should ask ourselves, what can a person with a disability contribute to this situation? What would their thoughts be on this subject? Then you at least have a more complete framework as to what inclusive really means. And we are making progress, make no mistake. But, as with many things, it's a journey, not simply a destination. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you, we're all equal, so get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.